Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. This is a super exciting week because so soon I turn 33. Not ashamed of my age because it is only getting better as I learn more about my body and just in general. And as a reward to all of you for continuing to listen and be so incredibly amazing, especially after this 30-day challenge that was so much fun, we're giving a 33% discount to the yearly price for the Optimal Body. So if you've heard us talk about the core, the HIIT workouts, the functional movements, the corrective exercises, the ways to really start helping your body based on everything that we talk about in almost every single episode, this is going to be your opportunity to get in. We don't give many discounts. We don't do this very often. So this is your time to get in. I promise you this price is way cheaper than coming to see me once. And for that price, you get a full year of me really diving into your body, getting to understand it on such a deeper level. This isn't just like a fitness program. This isn't just, you know, a weight loss thing. This is truly your way back in to just opening and expanding what is available within your body. That's truly what I want to do. I want to help you, give you the tools so that you can start to feel something different. That's what it's all about. Just getting to know your body, moving your body. So you don't have to use a code. There's no code. It's 33% off this week only. And then it goes back after Friday. So get in. If you've been thinking about it, come join us. There's an incredible community. I go live every Sunday in our private Facebook group, and I want to see you there. So come join us. Thanks for joining us again. We are diving into heat therapy this time. We're actually coming to you from our brand new sauna. So if you're watching on YouTube, hi.
And you would have seen on YouTube, we did a little light show because it has this fancy little light up top, which is fun. Pew, 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 pew. There we go. So many colors.
Wait, well, I'm just trying to turn it off now.
Yeah, so I'm not distracted.
It was a weird color on your face.
So heat therapy, you know, we did a podcast on cold therapy, systemic and local cold therapy. And now we kind of want to talk into heat in the same way. And again, because we're physical therapists and we work with a lot of people, heat is kind of a topic of discussion a lot.
Well, and it's something probably very regular, right? If you've been to physical therapy, you might be familiar with the process of you come in, you have your heat pack thrown on whatever area you're in for, then maybe you go do a little warm up and exercise, or maybe you get treated right from a therapist right after that, you know? And so what is that really doing? Is that beneficial, or is it just a part of the regular process that we've kind of taken clients through at this point?
Yeah. And I mean, people know that when I'm going to work out or when I'm going to exercise, I need a warm up and I need a cool down. Why not just use heat and ice? Right? I don't know if that's like where the thinking comes from. Yeah. Like, okay, good, heat so that we can warm up to work out. And what does heat actually do? I think we'd like to start by saying, if we're locally putting a heat pack on my shoulder or a heat pack on my knee, what is that heat physiologically doing in that area?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to that local area, it's not going to do a huge amount, right? That actually creates real change of that tissue that you're putting it on. However, it's going to do, I mean, yes, we do have some physiological changes in terms of really just talking to improving that circulation that's happening right there. We're talking a little bit to the hormonal level of getting down into the cells just a bit. However, we're really promoting this idea of relaxation. And that's why when you put something locally like a heat pack on something that hurts or a spasm or, you know, a pain point that you're having on your body, you might notice that you feel something different afterwards.
And it does. Physiologically, I kind of explained this with cold, but in the same way, if we have a discomfort, if we have a pain, just that pressure, that new sensation, we have these, they're called mechanoreceptors, and they sense all sorts of different stuff like pressure, vibration, heat. And so when we put a hot pack on that also applies a little pressure, just think, if you have a knee that hurts and you wrap your hands around it, or if you wrap it in something tight, it kind of distracts you from that pain. So we get this gating effect. So it's gonna likely, while the heat's on there in the very short term, alter the way that our brain is perceiving that pain.
Exactly. And so for that moment, those receptors come up to the brain and say, hey, you can chill. We're protected. We're safe.
Yeah.
Right. And so it automatically causes this feeling of release,
totally.
Maybe a feeling of released pain, of improved motion, of, you know, whatever that may be. And really, I think the mindset should be thinking about it as promoting relaxation.
Totally. And like, again, we might get through that relaxation, through some local surface level increased blood flow and stuff like that, it could allow our tissues to obtain a little bit further range of motion or get a little more, you know, flexibility in those joints. But again, it's short term. It's not going to like be changing the length of that muscle and then it stays longer or anything. It's just through those physiologic things that are going to happen anytime we put heat or anytime we have heat on an area, like vasodilation. Especially on the surface level, going to bring a lot more blood to the surface, which is going to bring with it a lot more of those nutrients, metabolites, different things that are just going to be acting in that area because heat brings energy, which brings more activity.
Exactly. And so if we can help to promote some of that or get someone feeling something different before we all of a sudden start cranking on a joint or moving something as a therapist, you know, if that is going to help the patient to feel better, why not do it a little bit?
I know. And everyone says like, oh, don't use heat. It's not something that...
It's a passive modality. It's not doing anything.
But again, if I have a patient in front of me that can't get full knee range of motion, before they can activate that on themselves and learn to support in that fully extended position, what if we put a little heat on them, do some of our joint mobs? Yes, passive to them. Not something with the joint mobs that they can do in their home.
Yeah.
But even if it's them at home, like, okay, for this next week, why don't you warm it up a little bit, then try to do this exercise? You might get a little further range. Teach that muscle that it can activate in that further range. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It has to be followed by something that's active.
Exactly.
It has to be followed by something that they're doing through whatever range or whatever sensation the heat has helped to provide to that joint or that muscle.
Right. Because if it's helping to make, to allow that body to feel safe or that area to feel safe, that is exactly what we're doing. If we're having relaxation, the body's like, oh, I don't need to be on guard right now. I can relax a little bit. That's essentially what it's doing. So if you put heat on your back per se, right? You get some back pain, you get some back spasms, you want to put it on your back. Okay, cool. You have your heat pack at home. But you just promoted a response that allows a relaxation for that moment, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't fix anything. It didn't change anything. It didn't even cause that much difference to the tissue other than the messages that we're sending for that moment. So what are you going to do beyond that? And that's what's important to get here, right? It can help in the process, but it's not doing the process for you.
Yeah, it can be a tool. As we talk about everything, we're not going to say don't use heat. We're not going to say never use that as a part of your life, but that back pain, the same way as when you're at work and when you're in a work day for 8 hours and you don't have the time to lay down and put heat on your back and find that relaxation by just using that, like, what other tools are you going to use for yourself? And we're not going to go through those as much today because that's what we do in a lot of the other episodes about like the specific areas like the back and the knee and whatnot.
We've talked about back pain in a few episodes, I think.
Yeah. But again, if it's something at home that can help you promote that relaxation to then do some of your mobility work, to then do some of your other exercises to activate those muscles in a slightly different environment than you could have achieved on your own initially, that's a great application.
I agree. And you know, what was interesting too is that when we're looking into the studies and we're looking into studies on heat on all aspects, right? Not just hot packs. But when we're looking at what a local hot pack can do on the body. Yeah. You know, one of the studies did show that if you're using a hot pack for 10 days in a row, if you're immobilized, so this is you're not getting up and walking for whatever reason you've had to stay in bed and you can't get up, right? So if you're completely immobilized, having a local heat on an area actually was proven, and they showed that after 10 days, it prevented the loss of mitochondrial function so that you can still, you know, revive and use those cells, especially once you do start moving. Mm-hmm. It increased the heat shock protein levels, which we'll talk into a little bit more as soon as we go into systemic heat. And really, it helped to decrease the atrophy that we're going to have directly at that muscle tissue by 37%. So that's a pretty large number.
And that is pretty huge when you think about, okay, immobile, like that could just be somebody who had a surgery and needs to be immobilized at a joint for 2 weeks. This kind of reminds me similarly of how sometimes they'll use like electrical stim if someone's immobilized to just, it basically pumps energy into the area.
Exactly.
Like you said, those mitochondria, those are the powerhouses of the cell. And if we can just pump heat or pump energy into that joint while it's not working itself, we can get those mitochondria to keep working, keep pumping out ATP, which is kind of the gas or the fuel of the cell, ATP into the cell to keep all those processes going, like you said, to prevent the atrophy or the muscle loss. The heat shock protein increase is very valuable for us to have just in those 10 days of immobility. So a really kind of cool application that if we need it, it's there.
Exactly. Now, shifting gears a little bit, because this is what we talked about on the cold therapy podcast as well, is rather than just addressing what's happening locally, because like we said, you know, some things can help, but on a larger scale, the thing that, again, connected Domini is that we look at a human as a whole, not just a body part, right? So if we're looking at what we're doing to really improve function overall, which is going to help that pain point, which is going to help that body part that's feeling something, right? If you hit it systemically, like sauna use.
Right, which we're in.
Which we're in.
And sauna use is just so huge because, right, when we can put our entire body and our entire physiology in a different environment, we're going to have adaptation and our body's going to respond to that. And it's going to say, okay, what's going on here? You know, if we do it once, that's great. But then if we have it as a routine part of how we type these messages into our system using our environment, it can really have drastic impacts on our long-term health. Specifically when we talk about some pretty significant diseases that cause death in our societies. Right?
Very, very common ones.
Right?
So it's pretty amazing. And first of all, before we dive into all those things, do you want to just say?
Oh, so we're in our Clear Light sauna. And if you guys are interested in checking out a sauna, you should head over to Clear Light 100 on Instagram, or just head to their website. We'll have it all in the show notes.
Yeah.
And take a look at them. But if you do decide to make a plunge and get one, just let them know that you heard of us or heard of them on our podcast, or use code OPTIMAL and they'll give you a little gift.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't get you like a discount off.
Yeah.
You know, we got our own as well.
I told them we wanted 50% off the saunas for them and they didn't go for it.
Yeah, but it didn't quite work, but we love ours. We've been using it regularly now that we have it at our home in Minnesota, and it's such a gift. Now we need to figure out how to get it. We'll be moving out of our home in LA. So once we have another home.
Yeah, once we have a place in LA.
California. But,
and it's great because we have to walk outside to get here. So we get a little bit of the cold and then we get in the heat. Yeah, that little contrast.
Yeah, not my favorite part, but that's okay.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. But you know, what's amazing about being able to have this access is that it's a stressor to the system. And we know that we improve actually when we place stress on the system. Like exercise itself is a stressor. That is placing stress on the system. And if you do it for a continual basis, you improve a lot of different systems within your body. And, you know, being able to have access to create that stress from heat and increase that body temperature, that is creating another stressor in our system. We've even talked about this when we're talking about rebuilding like ligaments and tendons and what we need to do in order to create stress on tendonitis, tendinosis, all those. You guys can look back and listen back to those episodes, but it requires load. It requires stress. And that's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And just like anything else that stresses our body, like a little bit can be good. Once we know our level, you know, we can start playing that.
Yeah.
Too much can always go the other direction, you know, just like anything, just like exercise. Too much exercise can always be deleterious or bad for our bodies versus, you know, saunaing in the right frequency can really, really have a lot of benefits. And personally, I think that one reason this happens is because of what it does to our vessels, you know, and what it allows our heart to experience during that time that we're in the sauna. Because when we're in the heat, our body wants to get rid of heat. And so it starts to vasodilate, or our vessels open up wide. And they're just like, all right, get all this blood to the skin, because then it can help give off some of this heat. And we start sweating, which again, then pulls in the lymphatic system and says, hey, we need you to offload some of these fluids, because that's a really fast way for us to get rid of the heat. So
it's how you can naturally detox.
Totally. It helps us detox different things from our liver, from our bladder, and also just jumpstarts our system and it gets it pumping, right?
Exactly.
And that can be so beneficial when done correctly.
Yeah. So when we're looking at some of the research, and this, a lot of this comes directly from what Dr. Rhonda Patrick has looked into. And so we'll link that up if you guys want to read the full thing of everything she put on sauna.
Such great information.
Amazing, amazing article. So they found that moderate sauna use, as opposed to someone doing it once a week. Okay. So moderate sauna users means 2 to 3 times a week. They are 22% less likely to experience a sudden cardiac death. And then frequent users, so meaning people who are using saunas 4 to 7 times per week compared to one, again, are 63% less likely to experience a sudden cardiac death, which, when cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the States, you know, that's something to really look at.
So significant. And again, it's, I think, that ability for our vessels to learn how to be compliant, to vasodilate, vasoconstrict, and for our heart to handle that.
Yeah.
And when we put our body under that little bit of stress every day, then when we might have different stressors throughout life, like, we're just more prepared to handle that. And it doesn't take as much of a toll on our system, or it's not such a shock to our system where we might have a cardiac event.
Yeah. So it's really just helping your heart to move. I mean, it's going to start pumping when you're in high heat, you know, similar to exercise. Now, this doesn't replace exercise.
No.
You still get to exercise. But this is just another tool to add that different type of stress to the system.
And if I had to guess, you know, I always like to think with my dumb science brain up there, like, if I had to guess,
not studied.
Just doing, not a specific study. This is just my conjecture, that doing it consistently in the sauna, I believe, would make your heart more prepared to take on what exercise brings.
Oh, that's as far definitely as the, one of the studies that they looked into.
As far as the cardiac load that is required, your heart's just like, oh, this is just like in the sauna, but now we're moving all the muscles and joints with it too.
Yeah.
Right?
You get better endurance.
Absolutely.
From being in a sauna.
And there was even this, I think, is really cool. And I think is almost a, not a side effect, but a side effect of our heart working so well and our lymphatic system being able to clear toxins a little bit better, is what it does for our nervous system. And it allows us to clear all this gunk, get a bunch of crap out of there. It helps us release all these happy hormones in our body, because we're in the heat, we're in the light, the infrared sauna, it's getting, you know, some good infrared light on our skin. And it reduces, you know, the potential for dementia, those frequent users you were talking about, 4 to 7 times, by 66%.
That's huge.
66% people who consistently used their sauna, they were less likely, or I guess they were 66% less likely, to have dementia and psychotic disorders as well, was even a little bit higher than that.
77% decrease in psychotic disorders.
So it's just crazy to me that all of these broad systemic benefits of things that, like Alzheimer's, dementia, different neurodegenerative disorders, and cardiac events, just by going in a sauna 4 times, you know, a week, that is crazy. And I think that should make everybody want to run and find their nearest sauna, get one in their home, just so that they can start to take advantage of that.
I know. I mean, not always as accessible, right?
Totally.
I wish it was. We took a while to get ours as well. Yeah. And you know, it sometimes takes saving up for. It's like, but what you know that it can do for you, and especially if you know Alzheimer's, dementia, cardiac disorders, if you know these things specifically run in your family line, it could be something that's just like, okay, maybe this is my extra treat that I'm going to save up for. And in a year, I can finally purchase, you know, it's something to, we're just talking about it because systemically it provides so many benefits and the research is just kind of astounding as to what benefits.
Yeah. One of the studies, and we totally have these all written down, so we're not just like pulling these out of our back pocket. But one of the ones that we had looked at was about a single session of like sauna therapy or heat therapy that actually elevated our core temperature above 100, like the 101, I think 101.3, which is a very Fahrenheit. Popular radio station where I'm from. 101.3 KDWB.
Oh my goodness. Fahrenheit, let's say that.
Yeah, 101.3 Fahrenheit, which again, at Fahrenheit, that's a fever. You know, your body is technically running a fever at that point, but it was shown to have antidepressant effects, which again tells me that we're popping off some sort of endogenous hormones or those endorphins that make us all happy. And that had a lasting effect for up to 6 weeks.
That's insane.
One session.
That's really insane to me and absolutely amazing. But
for sure.
That just continues to prove the possibility of what can happen when we allow our body and try something different too.
Especially if you're, say, someone out there who's just like, you know, I've went in a sauna before and I just really don't like to sweat. I don't like the heat. It makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, good.
Right?
Good. You know, we need to allow ourselves to live into some of those discomforts again because of all these amazing benefits we're saying out. And again, it's not just one session.
Yeah.
But maybe that first session you do is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's your limit. And that's pushing yourself. Totally.
And I think, you know, there is a really clear distinction for me. I would be one of those people who I'd be, you know, going to get a massage and you go into the steam room and, or not the steam room, but you go into a sauna and a lot of them are those wet moisture saunas. And it was too much for me to be in for long periods of time. I would sit in there and be like, how are these old ladies doing it? Oh my God, I'm going to get out of here. Yeah. And I do feel a difference being in the infrared sauna. It's not as steamy. It's not as, I mean, yes, we're building up heat. Yes, the walls are definitely getting steamy. It's just a different type of sauna.
Yeah, you don't have that trouble breathing.
No.
And dry heat, you can go to a lot higher temperatures. You know, this thing, you can set it up to like 175 and the dry heat isn't as hot as if there's all that moisture in the air. So again, I think that we just need to understand, along with the episode we did on cold therapy and some of the benefits of that systemic cold, know that we should be trying to find a way to introduce ourselves to this, whether it's in an actual sauna or in a different environment that allows us to get this systemic heating of our body.
Right. And it, again, we can continue going on with all the benefits. I mean, growth hormone increases twofold just by two 30-minute sessions separated by a 30-minute cooling session. But at, I think the temperature was like at 176, but increased it twofold on your growth factor hormone.
Yeah.
And then if you did 215-minute at like 212 Fahrenheit, that's
dry heat again, but hot, really hot.
Really hot. But that increased it by fivefold.
Yeah. And so again, growth hormone, that's where you had been talking about when we used that local heat that helped all those, that mitochondrial activity, and that helped our cells still be able to work even though we weren't doing anything. That just tells you how hard your body is going to be working when it pumped that growth hormone in. All the cells in your body are just like, yo, we got to make, we got to grow, we got to do. And that's a lot of work for you to go through in even just two short 15-minute sessions.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and this is just some of the research that we're just kind of pulling off the top that have some crazy numbers. But the fact that there is this research available and it's showing some incredible results. And I know that it's something that we're only going to keep studying more, you know, and understanding, well, how long and at what temperature. But ultimately, it's about just stressing your body at whatever level that is and starting, whether it's, again, like you said, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, what can you do right now that just stresses you just a little bit and makes you a little uncomfortable? Like we all say, growth starts outside of our comfort zone, right? Well, that's not only in like public settings or putting yourself in weird situations, but that's really in how we're treating our bodies, what environments we're putting our body in. However. And it this just goes to prove when we get outside of our comfort zones a little bit, whether it's heat or cold, which I'm not a fan of cold, but
we get to live into it more.
I know. I get
we have a house here now, so Minnesota, it was negative 37 or negative 38 the other morning. Our
and
pipes froze.
The pipe froze.
Pipes froze.
Yeah. Because there's one that goes outside.
Yeah. I don't know why, but we'll take care of that. But that all being said, I mean, we said it once already. We use Clear Light Sauna.
Yeah.
If you have any interest in checking it out, again, we work with Jen. Ask for Jen. She's great.
She's amazing.
Tell her you found out about them from us, and she'll give you a little bonus when you get your sauna.
And we chose Clear Light. I mean, we'll go into, I think we're going to interview.
Yeah, we're going to interview someone from Clear Light. So we're going to have someone on who might be able to talk a little more specifically about the infrared sauna's chromotherapy, which is light therapy, which we didn't, you know, touch a ton on. But I know in Minnesota, where it's dark for long periods of time throughout the winter, there's such value to being having that chromotherapy or that infrared light that you can expose yourself to every day.
Yeah.
So we'll get them on to talk a lot deeper into some of that stuff.
And we found Clear Light because we asked, you know, we asked around to our friends who are very, very smart, who you guys have heard on the podcast. But Tyler Jean, he recommended Clear Light Sauna, and he's a naturopathic
doctor. And for him, it had a lot to do with the EMFs. You know, a lot of these things will still have a lot of magnetic frequencies and waves that we might not want to expose our body to too much. Like he said, the infrared, the heat, the benefits of that. So that was what he recommended, and we reached out to him right away.
Yeah. And again, we still got our own.
Totally.
This is not like, you know, unfortunately, these are expensive. And we get it and we understand. But if you have the ability or you have the ability to save up for it, I do think it's such an amazing, amazing tool to add to our environment. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.